HarperCollins presents The Christmas Wedding by Dilly Court. Read by Annie Aldington.
Chapter 1. The Carrington House, Queen Square, London, December 1867. Daisy Marshall put aside the garment she'd been mending for Master Timothy.
"What is it, Franklin?" she asked,
gazing warily at the butler, who had entered the morning parlour without bothering to knock. Such small infringements of etiquette from the upper servants were not unusual, and obviously designed to put her in her place.
"For you, miss?"
With disapproval written all over his face, Franklin proffered a silver salver on which lay a sealed envelope. Daisy's breath caught in her throat as she recognised the writing, and she snatched it up, hoping that Franklin was not familiar with the bold cursive script belonging to Julian Carrington, the elder son and heir to the family fortune.
"Thank you, Franklin."
She made an effort to sound casual and unconcerned, but Franklin had a way of reducing her to the lowly status of a scullery maid. He looked down his long nose.
"Mrs. Carrington wishes to see you in the drawing room, miss."
"I'll be there directly."
Daisy waited until he had left the room. The Carrington's butler had never approved of her. He had made that plain from the outset. And neither had Mrs. Thompson, the housekeeper. The lot of a governess was not a happy one, as Daisy had discovered to her cost. She had found herself occupying a nebulous position where she belonged neither upstairs nor below stairs, but all that would change very soon. Daisy raised her hand to touch the gold ring, set with a sparkling diamond, that Julian had placed on her finger, although it now hung round her neck on a silk ribbon, hidden from view. The Carringtons' money had come originally from coal mining in Yorkshire, and it was no secret that they hoped their son would marry into the landed gentry. But Julian would be 21 on Christmas Eve, and he planned to announce their betrothal at his birthday party. Daisy opened the envelope carefully, not wanting to tear the expensive handmade writing paper, and she inhaled the scent of Julian's favourite cologne. It was almost as if he was sitting beside her, and she closed her eyes, revelling in the exotic blend of aromatic essences and spice. She sighed happily. In 2 days' time it would be official. When he returned home, Julian would place the ring on her finger in front of his whole family. Daisy Marshall, from Whitechapel, the orphan daughter of a leather merchant, would be raised from her humble status of governess to that of fiancée to the elder son of a well-to-do family. Quite how it had happened was still something of a surprise. The dashing 20-year-old Oxford undergraduate, who had hopes of a career in the diplomatic service, was much in demand during the London season. Daisy was well aware that his domineering mother and ambitious father had their sights set on someone from a good family for their future daughter-in-law, but Julian had other ideas. He had convinced Daisy that for him it was love at first sight, and she had been similarly smitten. Now all that remained was to break the news of their engagement to the family. Daisy broke the seal and opened the letter carefully, a smile curving her lips. But as she read the contents, her hands began to tremble, and the words blurred, running together until they made no sense.
"Oxford, December 1867. My darling Daisy, you can't imagine how difficult it is for me to find the words that will inevitably break your heart, as it is breaking mine when I put pen to paper. The truth is that I cannot marry you. There, I've said it, and it cannot be undone. I still love you dearly, but I realise that for us to wed would be a dreadful mistake. My parents will never accept you as one of the family, and I will be cut off without a penny. I cannot hope to earn enough to make a proper home for you and any children we might have, and to marry you under such circumstances would be irresponsible, if not downright cruel. I love you too much to see you brought down by poverty and disgrace. Therefore I am breaking our engagement, even though it has remained a secret and was never an official obligation on my part. I will return home for my birthday party, but afterwards I will be leaving for Paris, where I have been fortunate enough to obtain a very junior position in the British Embassy. Please keep the ring as a token of my undying affection and..."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?